Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey everyone, it's Please Advise episode 106. Christina Lopez, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. I have a question to ask you about your body. So it's...
All right.
well, we're both from the East Coast, right?
Yes.
And so seasons are like built into my body.
Yes.
Even though we don't have seasons here.
Right.
So like I've literally... And also I'm always going back to school every year. Like every year is back to school for me. So every September I'm like, oh, the change is so real. Like
yeah.
I told you when you got... I've cried more this week than I had the all of last year. Like I don't know what's going on. I thought my period was coming. I don't write my period down. You probably should do that. That's a free advice. But like...
I use an app.
Yeah. Yeah. See, a lot of people do that. And I don't. But
it helps.
So I didn't know. It wasn't like, my period, because that had happened like 2 weeks ago. I was like, if I'm 32 and now have 2 week long PMS, I'm going to kill myself. So it wasn't that. And then I found out Mercury's in retrograde. But my crystals are like very charged right now. So I'm like feeling... Do you feel that way though?
I do, actually. I've been having a lot of migraines, and I think it's like because of the change in season.
Yeah.
It's like allergies, my different allergies are acting up.
But does your brain feel like you're doing a new start?
Yes. I actually spent the entire Labor Day weekend cleaning my apartment.
Yeah.
Like, I was cleaning baseboards. It was like I was moving out and or my parents were coming.
Back to school, baby. Get your shit together. Summer's over.
I want a new backpack. So bad.
I think you should treat yourself to that.
I think I will.
Our guest today is Andre Vermeulen.
Vermeulen. You were so close. I was like, yes.
We practiced before and I still fudged it up. But look, this is something we have in common because we both have last names that are maybe a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
But I can.
And they're not our fault.
Yeah, no, but I think we're both like complicated, diverse women. Like, I don't know anything about you except for meeting you once at a party.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go ahead and say that like our names match our personalities.
Yeah.
Which is no diss to Christina Lopez, plain Jane over here.
I don't even have a middle name. That's what's so sad about it.
You don't have a middle name?
My brother does, and I don't.
What Why? Were your parents? I can't imagine Diana. I know she must have been like on some.
My brother named me. I'm pretty sure I was like a surprise.
That's really cute though. I love it when siblings get to name their like little baby. Then it's like theirs, you know?
You can just say your middle name's Maria.
Actually, that is my confirmation name.
See? Da 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 da. I have a slight
name?
Psychic ability. I know. No, I'm not. I wasn't Catholic.
Okay. Mine's Ruth.
Good for you.
It's my grandmother's name. No, that's good for you to not be Catholic. It
yeah.
really is. It's no, a demented religion.
I didn't mean that as like, good for you. No, I meant it as a legitimate.
I did have to do confirmation, but it was through the Lutheran church. So you don't get a name. I never have gotten a name. I even like I took French and because my name is French, I didn't get a name. They're like, you should just keep yours.
Yeah.
Andre.
Wait a minute. So...
My last name is Belgian. My first name is French.
Lutheran does like baptisms at like 8, right? Is that
no,
the church?
No, I was a baby.
Okay, so mm-hmm. What's the religion, the form of Christianity where you don't get baptized till you're 8?
I have no idea. Maybe Presbyterian or Baptist or
yeah.
Honestly, Lutheran.
Not Lutheran.
Sorry, I have no idea. I have very limited experience with other Christian religions outside of Catholicism.
Because I went to
a lot of people don't consider Christian, but.
It actually, you know what? I'm getting more and more there because I actually think actual Christianity is pretty beautiful. Like,
yeah.
But there's just, it's so bastardized. Like, yeah. It's been something that's been so bastardized. But at its core, actual Christians are very, very good people. And,
yeah.
I mean, it, just like anyone who has a moral compass and a structure to the way they live their lives and make yeah. decisions.
If it's like written in love, but then people use that and twist it to act unlovingly. Yes. You're like, well, this says this. And you're like, that's not what it means.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time with Candace Cameron, like, being as religious as she is because, well, like, my sister Jody has spent so much time with her, and I just feel like that's very toxic for her, especially while she's in recovery. Do you know that there was a blind item that was, like, almost definitely about Candace Cameron, and apparently she doesn't believe in, like, I don't know, biracial marriage. What do you call it?
Oh, really?
Interracial marriage.
Interracial. I was like, intersex. Biracial marriage. I'm so stupid. But she, yeah. And hot tip. I heard this season on Fuller House, she has an Asian boyfriend.
Oh, so you gosh. Know
she's going home every night she's bitching on her out. Husband because she needs that job. You know what I mean? They can't have her on The View anymore. Unless, her views are insane.
Unless, like, she thinks Asian is white enough.
Yeah, that's like a pass.
Okay.
It's kind of neutral.
Okay.
I mean, it's not in reality. They yes. are their own. Not, everyone yeah. is their own person and different, and it's beautiful. But yeah. maybe she's like, that's not as – because they're the lightest. And I do think it does correlate to skin color, unfortunately.
Asian men are rarely fetishized. And my best friend from high school has an Asian man fetish. Like, she'll oh. just text me and be like – girl, look at this fucking hot Asian. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, I feel bad. Like, that's got to suck.
Well, the two groups that get the most, like, or that have the hardest time on dating sites are Black women and Asian men.
I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
I can totally understand that, actually. And that's, you know, that sucks. Dude, our country's racist. I really hope Donald Trump isn't our president.
Sexual prejudice is a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what's going to happen, though. I feel like we're having a lot of change, but then like something like Brock Turner happens, which I think we're going to talk about in this episode. I'm not sure. And it's like, oh, we live in caveman times.
Yeah.
It's basically caveman times.
Yeah.
Is there anything exciting going on in your life right now that you want to talk about?
Well, two things. One, I wonder, I was so grumpy yesterday, and I wonder, I'm also an East Coaster, so maybe
right.
I'm also having a seasonal shift. And I was like, why am I so grumpy? Aside from the fact, you'll like this. I just got a new car,
uh-huh.
and it's the first car I've ever owned. I've always leased.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very excited about my choice.
And what did you choose?
I chose a Volkswagen GTI, which is a zippy little thing.
That's great.
It's like a race car.
And I like that. I drive a Mini Cooper. It's like the basic yeah. bitch of all cars. Like
yeah.
that's you picked something cool.
Yeah. And my boyfriend and I, who this all compound my other news, we just moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
We went to fill up. We have these like glass jugs for water. You know, like the Poland Spring water
Absolutely.
Thing. But they're glass, and we usually get them delivered, which now we're understanding how wonderful that is, because we went to this 24-hour fill station and we filled two of them.
Yeah.
We put them in the back of my brand new car, and we're driving, and we kind of live in some steep areas. So I'm like driving no. so slow up the hills, and our driveway is like as treacherous as can be. It's really steep. It's at a bizarre angle. You will damage your car. We tell people, do not attempt the driveway.
What neighborhood are you in?
Franklin Hills.
Okay.
So we're coming up to the driveway, and I'm like, I feel like we should just get out and take the water bottles out. He's like, yeah, maybe. He's like, or maybe we could do it. I don't know. We're trying to decide like what to do, and then we're both like, all right, let's try it. So I go up the driveway, and immediately I hear a shattering and then just gallons of water. So the one fell over, hit the other one, and it just shattered into a million pieces, and 5 gallons of water just dropped into my trunk
oh,
of my brand
no.
new car.
Oh, my God.
So we're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And we get out of the car, and it's like there's a side hole out the back of the
yeah.
car, and it's just – pouring, it looks like a fire hydrant, just pouring water out the bottom. We're trying to get all the glass out. And then we get all the glass out. We get the other jug out, which thank God didn't break and had a good amount of water in it. And I pull the cover thing off, and there's like a wheel well with a spare tire. And on top of it is a subwoofer for my car. It has like a Fender sound system. And I was like, oh my God, I still don't know if it's okay. But I unplugged the subwoofer that looks pretty waterproof. We'll find out soon. And I pull out the wheel, the extra wheel, and it's just like a donut-shaped hole in my trunk. The entire thing is filled with water. Oh, it's like a kiddie pool in my trunk.
How do you even get that out?
We're like scooping it with cups.
Yep.
Just like throwing all the water down the driveway. And then we took towels and just pressed into the fabric. You know, it's got like a layer of that like carpety stuff in the back, and just like pressing. And then the next morning doing it again, leaving all the windows open. And now there's like, it's pretty dry, but I bought like a dehumidifier.
Dude, that sucks. Like, that truly blows. I'm so glad it was water, though, I know. Of all things. Like,
I hope your subwoofer is okay.
Me too.
I
know. It was also an amazing – we've had a lot of amazing relationship tests very early on. Yes. And we – none of us – neither of us yelled. Neither of us were – blamed the other one. I was upset, of course. I was like – I was like mad at the situation, but not him. So sure. I got very quiet, and I was just like, just so bummed that it happened. Like, you know, when you're like, you wish you could go back in time.
Yeah.
And I wish I was like stronger about my inkling. Like, I don't think we should try this, but I wasn't completely sure in my thinking that. And then I was like, all right, we'll try it. Like, there are a million things that we both could have done.
Yeah.
And it's just a brand new car. It smelled – I was, like, most concerned that my car won't smell new. But it's fine. It was
it's alkaline water. It's, oh, thank God.
And also, by the way,
I don't think people know. I don't know if they do. Because it shocked me when I moved here. We have water stores in LA. Yeah. Just, like, a store you go to for water. And, like, I had never – I'm, like – when I saw one, I was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why would there be a store for water? Who the fuck goes there? And then I realized there's, like, one on every corner. And, like, it's very much a thing to go buy.
There's, like, water vending machines in the streets.
That's what we did. It was a 24-hour fill station, an alkaline – you could choose just filtered water or alkaline water.
That's fancy as fuck.
Yeah.
I just was drinking straight from the alkaline gallon yesterday. I was like really trying to like get work done. So I was like, I'm just like, I'm so dehydrated at all times. Like,
yeah.
I don't even, my mom and I were like fighting yesterday because we weren't fighting. I was pretending to fight with her. Basically, what the bitch did was when I was like 7 years old, she bought Flintstone vitamins and I wasn't allowed to have candy or anything. So like, I was like loving my Flintstone vitamins and I ate 12 of them, and she was like, Molly, she's like, what have you done? I'm calling poison control. And I was like, no, don't call poison control. Like, I thought they were gonna come arrest me
and like, because I was full of poison.
By the way, I like literally realized yesterday morning when I, as soon as I woke up, I like opened my eyes and I was like, that Flintstone vitamins thing wasn't real. Like, my mom never called poison control. My entire life, I mean, of course she didn't. But, like, my entire life, I never questioned it. And I actually thought, I thought I was going to have to get my stomach pumped Flintstone vitamins.
Parents operate on little lies like that. And I did, too, when I was babysitting my cousins. I always threatened to call, like, a fake uncle that was in the military that would, like, you're going to have to go to boot camp.
This was a good one.
You're not going to like it.
This was a good one. I'm calling Santa. Right now, like, calling Santa was like the biggest threat. And like, technically, based on Santa's rules, like, he already knows if you're being bad. So like, why would you call Santa? Like, but yeah, did you get I'm calling Santa?
No, I was just sitting here being like, wow, this is the first time I can't identify in any way because I had such absent parents. Oh. So then I was very well behaved because I had to be the adult.
Yeah.
So I never got any of that. Like, one time I remember in school we learned like kids shouldn't be unattended in a pool. And it is very funny now that I look back. But my grandma had a pool and I was swimming and I was a good swimmer. So to defend my mom, I was a good swimmer. But I was like, Mom, you can't leave me alone in this pool. And she's walking off and she goes, if you drown, come get me. which is hilarious because you would be dead. You can't come get her.
That yeah. gave me like chills, actually. That really like gave me chills. I was like sick burn, but also no. Like yeah. that is, oh my God, that's so what's your parents' deal? Do you mind, do you talk about
no,
it?
No, yeah. My mom, like it's very weird. Like I've talked a lot with my therapist, like they were loving but also absent, which is very confusing. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, my therapist has said like, she could tell that my parents were loving, and if they weren't, like maybe I might be a little bit of a disaster.
Right.
But yeah, like very, my dad was like super affectionate and loving, but a huge alcoholic.
Okay.
So if I wasn't right in front of his face, he would forget that I exist.
Okay.
And my mom went to leave him when I was 7. And the way that she chose to do that, it was Christmas and we were living in Florida for a hot second. My parents trained racehorses. My dad trained racehorses. So he got a job at the Miami racetrack.
I love this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were in New Jersey. Monmouth racetrack is what we lived near. My
girl,
dad
you're like
horses.
Bethany Frankel. Sorry to interrupt. I just have to tell you, that's Bethany's whole deal. Her dad
oh, really?
Was a horse trainer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And so my parents worked together. My dad was like the trainer. My mom was a hot walker and a groomer. That's like a horse is too hot. You can't just put them in a stall after a race. They'll die.
Okay.
Which is weird.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They're it's too almost hot. Like they'll get they colicky. Shouldn't be doing horse races.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like kind of like one of those things.
Yeah. It's like, maybe these animal rights people are right. Yeah. I actually, side note, have been like, huh, because my parents weren't abusive to their racehorses. And there have been all these things recently, like PETA's trying to shut down horse racing. And I was texting my mom like, why I don't have this image of horse racing. And it's really interesting. Like,
right.
I see what they're saying. And my mom was like, well, unfortunately, what they're saying is the majority of horse racing. We didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So anyway. So
I'm sorry. Continue on your journey.
Yeah. So we're in Florida. My dad has a job at the Miami racetrack. We're living with a jockey named Tino who lost his long-term memory because he fell off a horse and all the horses trampled his head. And his girlfriend had left him. He had a really nice house in Florida. Anyway, so we're living
with
Tino.
So wait, is it a situation where he would like wake up the next day and it would be like
he just didn't remember his old life in any way. He did remember certain things, like he knew that he knew my parents.
Okay.
But like he gave me a giant teddy bear when I was probably 4 and I brought it with me to Florida and I was like, Tino, look, this is the teddy bear you get. And my parents are like shaking their head no in the background because he doesn't remember that.
Okay.
He only has short-term memory. He can do like daily tasks. He was supposed to drive me to school every day, but also would sort of forget and be late and then want to take the scenic route. And I was a very stressed out kid because my parents just weren't, I don't know, they weren't like on it. So I was never in trouble. I was always very nervous on top of everything.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Tino, we gotta go.
Yeah.
But
by the way, can I just say that like I could use that? Like I could use a trampling on my head. That would be a really good life tool for me. I could. I would love to forget things. Like there are so many things I love to forget.
He was living a blissful life, I will say. He was just happily, he doesn't know why
every embarrassing thing you've ever done in life or anything terrible.
Anyone ever hurt you, any pain you've ever felt, it just evaporates.
He had a beautiful house with like a wonderful in-ground pool. Now he had no idea how he got it. So funny. But so my mom decides to leave my dad, and I was saying bye to my dad. We were going to my grandma's for Christmas, and we just never came back.
Wow.
So no one said we're breaking up or anything. And I remember leaving and saying bye to my dad. And I knew in my gut, even as a little 7-year-old, that something was off. Like the goodbye was a little too heavy. And I wasn't sure why my dad wasn't coming with us, but I also didn't ask. And then my mom thought it would be a great idea to not explain anything to me until I asked, which is way too young of an age for a kid to make a decision like that. Mm-hmm. So 2 years pass, and I'm like with my cousins in Pennsylvania having a blast, and I go, where's dad? And she let me start to see him. So apparently he had been calling too, and she wouldn't let me talk to him or see him.
Wow.
And then I started seeing my dad. So that was like not a great – and she has said now like that was probably not the best decision, but she just didn't know what else to do at the time, and she thought it was a good decision at the time.
Right.
And my mom, like, as a little kid, like, she read every baby book. She was a really great mom when I was a little baby. And I felt very secure and whatever else. But, I mean, I think I did. I was a very good baby.
Yeah.
But then, like, moving forward, so my dad was always an alcoholic. I was a
very good baby.
I was a wonderful baby.
The best baby. The best baby.
But my mom was always, like, super poor. We lived with my in my great-grandma's house. And she – it's very interesting to live in a house that you're constantly reminded is not yours. Like, you're not really welcome. So I grew up in a home that I was reminded, like, this is not your house.
Girl, we're more similar than not. Like, we are more similar than different. Like, I lived in my grandparents' house with my single mom. So many questions, did the best she could. Shocking realization. Parents are humans. But yeah, we lived very, very, very similar. Anyway, continue. I know that it's taking away your security when you don't feel like it's your home.
And then there were just a series of things. Like, my mom ended up dating a domestically abusive boyfriend for like 5 years of my life. And he would like break things and hit her. And we like moved to a different house. And then he broke that house. And then we had to move to a different house. He's just like holes everywhere and whatever.
Oh, shit.
And then when I went to college, like, no one ever helped me with money either. And my family had money but wouldn't help me kind of in spite of my mom, which is so shitty. They would help me if it was really important. And
my mom only helped – like, she married a super rich guy when I was 20. And, like, but she's – that never paid off for me. Like, she still was like, you need to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, which I think is good in the end.
Absolutely. Like,
I was in college and I paid my mom's cell phone bill.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I've always been – I've never been in massive debt. I've always had a job. I've always had an apartment. I've lived by myself most of the time. And I don't know. I've just always worked really hard. I've always worked in – I've been a nanny. I've worked in restaurants. I've been a bartender. I've been a makeup artist. I've just always worked.
Yeah.
And –
You're a hustler.
I'm a hustler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it sound better with that accent?
No. I mean, I have to say, you don't even have to give us three reasons why you're qualified to give advice, because that's like – I mean, I think you just gave us like 45. Like, that was really, I mean, that's an impressive story. And also, like, when you hear that, it's just so fucking amazing that people stay alive. Like, people are so fucking resilient.
And like, I never did drugs. I never got in trouble. I never drank in high school and stuff. Of course, I drank in college. I mean, everybody does. But I also went to school in Manhattan. So you can't drink the same. Like, you'll die.
Yeah.
You can't Marymount Manhattan. Upper East Side. So you can't, like, be wasted. I mean, there were times when, like, we heard about kids being wasted and they accidentally went to the end of the train and then they fucking get jumped. It's like you can't – you just can't drink the way you would at, like, I don't know, Penn State or something.
Right.
You know, and it's not really campus housing. You're, like, living in the city.
Absolutely.
I lived in the 91st Street Y for a while, 92nd Street. They were like our college had like YMCA housing and there was like one dorm. So and there was no meal plan. So you also had to work in college unless your parents had money. So I had to like work and buy groceries. And so like my freshman year, I lost 15 pounds because I was like trying to figure out how to make my money stretch as far as I could. So I was like, I'll just cut everything in half. And then I came home for Thanksgiving and my family was like, what? I looked like Steven Tyler. So, like sunken in.
Oh, girl, that is like you're
then
a survivor.
I gained it I figured it out. Then I gained the 15 after.
I'm like so not concerned about the 15 pounds. Like, I just can't believe you've lived that whole life.
You've lived a lot of life.
You lived like 9 lives, bitch. All right, let's go to our – by the way, I apologize. I found out bitch is the one word you're not allowed to say in prison.
Oh,
you
really?
Can look at someone and be like, fuck off, motherfucker. But if you go like, what up, bitch? Like, that's the disrespect word.
Even
that
in
is the
disrespect women's prison?
Word. Yep. Well, no, it's looser in women's prison.
Yeah.
But
we have a phone call about prison.
Okay, okay.
So we do?
Let's go to our calls.
Okay.
Hey, Molly. Hey, Christina. It's Alex. 30, female, Boston. I'm calling not necessarily with a question, but more or less with some commentary. Specifically about all the prison stuff from last episode, because unfortunately, I guess I would fancy myself a bit of an expert. I spent 6 months in prison, like actual prison, when I was 24-ish. So five to six years ago. Definitely not a brag, not proud about that, but you know, it is what it is. And I can offer a little perspective. First of all, I just want to say to Alexis, like, girl, don't even worry about it, because they got those play techs on the commissary. Once you finally get the commissary privileges, you can order the fancy tampons. You've got those Playtex pink super tampons. However, and I will say, full disclosure, I've never seen an episode of Orange Is the New Black. I've never seen, what's the other one that you're watching? Oh, 60 Days In. I've not seen those things. So this is all just from experience. But yeah, you really can't order commissary until about 3 to 4 weeks into your term. And I definitely spent some time without it as well. So I don't know if that's really a sign of Piper's incompetence or if it's just like, it's just the name of the game. I will say that when I arrived in prison, I was on the rag, and I couldn't find any female things. I couldn't find any couldn't find any pads or tampons or anything like that. And so when I was getting booked and I got my one gigantic granny pad, like, and That was my pad for a week. Like, I didn't find anything else. They didn't offer anything else for a week while I was booked, while I got into my room, while I didn't speak unto anybody. Like, I survived on one disgusting, awful pad for an entire week because the system hates you. So that's something you could fear. But also, Christina, I will say that the bathroom is the best place in prison, like literally the best place in prison. You've got your two rooms, you've got your sink / toilet room, which is like whatever, like not that exciting. But then there's the shower room, which is honestly the best place. Like, if you wanted to kill a half an hour of your time in the shower, you could, and no one's gonna care. They really don't. They don't. So you can go and just, like, shower your cares away in prison anytime you want. Isn't that great? Okay, guys. This didn't really have a point. I just wanted to let you know that there's people out there who have survived the experience, and, like, you can survive the experience. And if you have any questions, like, let me know. Yeah. Bye.
Okay, so, like, even though there's literally someone named Boston on 60 Days In, like, as that being my hometown, like, I'm struggling to imagine a Please Advise Nation person in Boston in prison. Like, that is, I feel sad about it. My palms are sweating. I want to know what you did, but I know that that's a rude thing to ask outside of calling someone a bitch. That's, like, a big thing. By the way, Alex, you were innocent. Like, as far as that, you didn't do shit. They got the wrong girl, okay? But that is wild. And by the way, I'm not going to prison. I'm not going to survive it because I'm not going. So if, don't even put that out there. No one ever, thank you for sharing, but no one ever call this podcast again and speak about what my time in prison is going to be like, because I am too powerful of a manifester. Okay. What are your thoughts on this?
A few things. Well, one, I can't believe they wouldn't give her more tampons, or you would think a women's prison would be stocked full of feminine products.
Well, it's usually not like a woman's prison. Like the, what you see on Orange is the New Black is like, that's white collar, like very minimal crime.
Oh, I need to watch this thing you're talking about.
Girl, you sleep on a metal bunk. You are lucky if you have a mattress pad. You have one blanket. It's freezing cold. You only get to keep your undergarments if they are white. If you get arrested wearing black underwear, guess what? You don't get underwear in jail.
Why?
Because they, because it's jail. Like, I don't know. It's apparently, but they have iPads. That's what's weird. So weird. They have like Android. That's how they make their money, though. Like hand over fist. They make so much money by just charging inmates for phone time and internet.
Wow.
That's how like the company that works with prisons.
But they separate the men and the women, right?
Yeah. But like,
so you would think in the women's wing, they would have a bunch of...
Well, A, I'm mad that they even have to spend money to get those things in the first place. You know what I mean?
I'm mad I have to spend money.
Well, all of us. There was someone who was trying to make that free. I forget who.
Yeah, I mean, so someone should. Like, it's definitely... We're at least not taxed because it's just so expensive.
No, we are taxed.
No, I know. I'm saying at least don't even... Like, if you're going to... Why are you taxing us on something that we're forced to buy by nature? It costs $8 a month to have your period, roughly. I mean, like, what the fuck?
Because they don't get it. I personally, all things vagina-related are tragic for me. They're fine now, but I have this thing called vulvar vestibulitis, which I, like, couldn't even use a tampon growing up. I couldn't have sex. I didn't have sex until I was, like, 22 or something. I would have like what I called almost sex with my boyfriends because it hurt. If anything touched, it was like fine walking around, having a good time. And then if anything were to insert into my vagina, it felt like I was being stabbed with a machete, like such intense pain. And I couldn't figure it out. And my bumblefuck gynecologist in Pennsylvania, I was like, I'm 18. I should get a pap. And I just kind of ignored it when I couldn't use a tampon whenever my period came. What are you like? 13, 12, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was using pads, which is just awful. And I was just like, all right, I can't figure this out. I'm just going to forget about it. And then I went to the gynecologist and they couldn't do the pap because it was so painful. When your body goes into extreme pain, you get a cold sweat and the paper was stuck to the bed.
Dude,
I had to like.
It's painful for a regular vagina. I cannot imagine. Like,
it's so crazy. Yeah. So I still went away, like, not knowing what was wrong with me. And they were like, oh, you're just scared. And I'm like, I'm not scared. This is so stupid. So then one day I'm in college and I'm reading Cosmo, of all things, back when they actually had useful articles.
Yep.
And there was an article called When Sex Hurts. And there were like five women and five different reasons. And the one woman, it was like she was speaking my truth. Everything was just like, it's fine most of the time. But then if something touches it, it's like a terrible pain. And then it was there was a term for what that was. And I was like, oh my God. And then that sent me on, you know, I looked it up and then I found a doctor. Side note, didn't understand New York very well yet.
Right.
So just wanted a woman doctor. Looked up a woman, was like, I don't know, I'll go to her. Found myself in deep in Hasidic Jewish Brooklyn.
Oh, wait.
That's where Christina's from.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got out of the train and I was like, huh, okay. The gynecologist was awful to me. Because
is this the woman that gave you the pap smear, Christina Lopez? Christina Lopez giving out pap smears in her high school bedroom. What is wrong with me?
Really?
Continue.
No. Oh, okay. I was like, wow,
Molly,
you're a
go-getter.
Molly likes
to make really elaborate
lies
about my
funny.
Life.
No, but the doctor was like, A, mad at me because I'm a shiksa. Two, mad at me because I'm trying to have sex before marriage.
Right.
Just very upset with everything and that I'm bringing to her. Does reluctantly diagnose me, but I've never had someone be so mean to me ever.
That is awful.
Really bad. So she prescribed me physical therapy. She said, if that doesn't work, you have to have surgery. I go to physical therapy in Midtown Manhattan where people are like working on their knees and stuff. And I'm in a room with this woman who's like giving me a dilator and pressing against the walls and I have to squeeze and release. And I found out that I hold my tension in my vagina. Like when I had finals, we couldn't work.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Wow.
And then the dilators got bigger and bigger. The first one was like as thick as my pinky. And it was like a torture that I can't explain.
For anyone who doesn't know what a dilator is, it's basically just like a
smooth dildo.
Yeah, it's like a smooth dildo. And like, I mean, that's huge in that if you were not born with a vagina, but you want one, you need to use a dilator or other. I guess your vagina just like seals up. I had a friend in high school who had, or college, who had an unfortunate history with sex. Something happened to her. I don't know. And she had to dilate like in order to be able to have a functioning vagina at all, because I guess like her reproductive system didn't work. So her body was like, you don't need this thing. Yeah. So it's so interesting, by the way. Please advise Nation, if you're dilating, call in 323-450-7408. But that is wild. Okay.
Yeah. I'd be like, I would have to do it 20 minutes a day. So I'd be like reading a book and just like sitting with my dilator in college. On my, thank God I asked for a single room by myself.
The sun also rises.
Yes.
Girl, you had a dilator and I had an eye patch. We all got our thing. You know what I mean? I'd have to sit for 20 minutes a day with my eye patch on. Like the goddamn adult I am.
So funny.
So one pad over the course of the week is probably the most brutal thing I can't imagine. I can't even imagine what the smell would be.
Awful.
It's the smell.
The smell would be really terrible.
Well, I mean, and also, like, I can imagine the pad. And you went to prison at 24. I mean, I feel like my flow was kind of rocking at 24. Like, at 32, my flow is, I'm like 3 days for my period, 4 days.
I always had a very light period. I just wouldn't get it for 3 months. That's why I went on birth control originally. And then, this is interesting. I don't know. This is what I've been told. So, I'm on birth control now. And I'm on the NuvaRing, and I would just like not get a period. It would be like maybe some spotting. And I went to an acupuncturist who's like, that's really bad. Every other doctor would be like, that's fine. The acupuncturist was like, no, you need to shed the uterine lining every month. It's very bad if that builds up. And she did some acupuncture to me and put me on Chinese herbs. Nothing else has changed. And I have a period for the first time ever.
Holy shit.
It's still light, but for me, I'm like, this is heavy. This is terrible. I use light tampons, but I'm like, what has she done to me?
Acupuncture is real. Like, it's real. Anyone doesn't think acupuncture is real.
And
like,
Chinese herbs.
Yep. Chinese herbs are. What's your Chinese herbs?
Mine are like a huge mushroom blend.
Okay.
It's got all these Chinese names on it that I don't know what they are.
Okay. So I totally agree with Herb Life. But that's amazing that she was able to do that for you.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. So I can't imagine. I'm already annoyed by the period that I do have, but I'm imagining that this woman also had like a regular normal period.
Yeah, she's 24 too. That's kind of like peak, like getting preg sort of time.
It's like for me, I have a heavier in the beginning, and then by day three, it kind of like levels off.
Oh, totally.
It's like usually a 5 day thing for me.
Mine's like maybe 3 days max.
Okay, yeah, I'm like, I used to be like, I could have my period for 6 days, college, like when I was like 18 years old. And by the way,
when I was young, it was like almost 7 days.
Yeah. I can't figure out if it's more traumatic, because having your period at 13, I got my period on my 13th birthday at my birthday party. I know. I literally, and like, I knew it was my period. Like the second it happened, I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I like know I have my period. Yeah. I had to tell my mom and like, I don't like to give Shauna things like that. Like I give Shauna breadcrumbs. Like I want my privacy. My mom wants nothing more than to be like super, super close with me. And like, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't want to talk about sex with my mom. That's a boundary for me. Like, I don't want to talk about my privates with my mom. Like, and you know, when you're 13, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like, you know, I didn't have money to go buy a tampon. And what am I going to do? I was like mother's helpering, like barely babysitting.
I think I've told the story on the podcast before, but when I got my period, like, I didn't tell my mom for 3 months. I was secretly
taking her tampons.
Pads and tampons. Yeah.
My mom hid her period from her mom for 6 months. And when my grandmother found out, she like punished my mom. So my mom was always like, you have to tell me when you get it. And my mom also had a boyfriend over and I was like, mommy, I need to talk to you. She's like, what? And I'm like, I need to talk to you privately. And she was like, just say it. And I was like, no, mom, like this is the one moment that I need you to like just fucking come in the other room with me. And we had like a galley kitchen. And so like he's sitting in the living room. The guy's name was Hitz. He was sitting, H-I-T-Z. He was sitting in the living room and I'm like telling my mom, I'm like, I just got my period. because I remember it was January 10th, my birthday, but I remember I was going to San Francisco in March and I was like, I bet when I go to San Francisco, I'm going to be a real woman who has her period. But the thing with your period is it's not like, yay, I'm a woman now. Maybe it isn't for some people. I felt a deep sense of shame. Like I was like, my period shame is real. Like I felt I'm different now. People know this about me. Like I made my mom pinky swear not to tell anyone. And wow. Then like, of course I found out, like, you know, someone said something and I was like, you fucking bitch. Like the one thing asked you not to say, that's another reason why I don't tell her stuff, because she can't help herself. She's like excited because I'm her daughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta know, because that's what it costs. It costs our relationship. Your excitement is costing our relationship. Funny. Anyway.
I don't remember getting mine. I remember that thing in school where they talked to you about it and then they sent you home with like a pad and a tampon. But then I was so in fear. Again, I was a very nervous, worrying kid. So I was in such fear of like, when's it going to come, that I would like just wear a pad for no reason. I didn't even have it yet. And I would just be waiting. And then I would think that I had it. And it's like if you think there's a bug on you and then you start feeling it. And I kept thinking like, oh, is it coming? And it wasn't. But I don't. I'm actually sitting here thinking like, what is wrong with me? There are so many things I've blocked. I don't remember at all. I don't remember getting my period. I don't know if and how I told my mom. I must have. Like, why don't I remember that? I only remember like the really bad things. I was thinking like, what do I remember? This is what my brain was doing. And I'm like, I remember my mom having another boyfriend where we went over his house and they locked me out of the house and I had to be on the porch because I wasn't allowed inside.
What? Oh my God. Because
he didn't want me inside. I think they must have been having sex. And she was like, go play with the kids in the neighborhood, which there weren't any. Also, you can't just go into a strange neighborhood and expect the kids to accept you. You can't just roll up to their crew and be like, I'm here.
My mom would be like, go talk to other kids on the beach. And I'd be like, I don't know them. She's like, you're never going to know them if you don't go talk to them. Like, mm-hmm. She would make me walk up to people and be like, hi, I'm Molly.
Yeah, my mom was doing that too. She one time dropped me off at the roller rink. I didn't want to roller skate. And she was like, go roller skate. And I, as a kid, was having like a philosophical argument with her. Like, why does it matter whether I roller skate or not? How does this affect your life if I roller skate or not? I don't know any of these kids. They've come in groups. There's a birthday party over there. And then me, this weird only child who cannot roller skate.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll up, literally, and be like, hi, come play with me?
Right.
No.
But you know what? There was a roller rink in my town too. And I, thinking back on it, I was usually at the birthday parties if I went. There were always kids that just got dropped off there. Also, you have that in common with Bethany Frankel. She just used to get dropped off at the roller rink. And I want to be clear, I'm very off Bethany. I want to say that Please Advise is boycotting Skinny Girl. I want to point I want to say it out loud. We're boycotting Skinny Girl here. This is not a
thanks for letting me know.
This is not a Skinny Girl family anymore. Bethany, I support it. I believe your come up is largely from my support. And your behavior on this season has been unacceptable. It's mean girl behavior. And I don't want to give you my money anymore. And also, the margaritas aren't even that strong. So,
or very good.
No, exactly, Christina. And that's why we're boycotting them, because we drank your shitty margarita because we were so excited for you, Bethany.
Rooting for you. And then we were all rooting for you.
We were rooting for it. That's literally it. And it's like, she's so smug. And like, you know, I was so happy for her to like get her money and have that moment. But like, oh, she's just like, she's broken. I said to someone, I think I even said it on Emotionally Broken Psychos. I said, she broke my heart. Like, I feel heartbroken by her. Like, I have supported that bitch for years. And what does she do? Turn into the biggest cunt imaginable. Sorry, using the C-bomb. She's rough. She is rough this season. My biggest nightmare is interacting with a human the way she acts. Like, if that human exists, my biggest nightmare is interacting with them. It's terrifying.
I wish I was watching. I can imagine.
I don't watch either.
Girl, there's imagine. 8 seasons. You got to catch up. It's either that or The Wire. Okay, so let's take our next call.
Hey, Walls. Okay, so like 2 years ago, I like smoked weed with my friend. Like, she brought it over. It was her boyfriend's, and like we smoked it. And she's like anemic, and she didn't eat that day. So like, I don't know. After we smoked, like, she stood up and she like fainted, which scared the hell out of me. And, like, I don't know, I fed her and, like, you know, tried to take care of her and stuff. Anyway, like, flash forward to today, she posted an article on Facebook that was, like, please stop wearing cargo pants, blah, blah, blah. It was, like, a BuzzFeed article. And all these guys were commenting on it, like, talking shit to her. So, I'm, like, in defense of cargo shorts or whatever. So, I commented on it and was, like, you're just jealous. Like, you need to chill. Cargo shorts rule. Like, sploosh, you know. Just, like, it was full of satire. It was, like, obviously sarcastic. But her mom saw it and, like, thought that I was being serious and, like, talking shit, I guess. And commented on it and was like, I've never liked you. Like, why don't you go smoke some of that laced weed that you smoke? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, told me that, like, she was like, now that's hate. Like, just saying, like, basically told me that she hated me and stuff. And I texted her and was like, hey, your mom just, like, went off on me. Like, does she think that I laced that weed that we smoked? And she was like, I don't fucking know what she thinks. Like, I've been, like, I just called her, like, she deleted it, like, I'm livid, all this stuff. She told me she was crying because it was so embarrassing for her that her mom did that and stuff. But I'm, like, sitting here, because we're, like, in our late 20s, and I'm like, what the fuck did she tell her mom? Like, that's weird, like, for her mom not to like me. I mean, I haven't even seen her mom in years, but I'm like, what the fuck?
First of all, I just want to say, if you're, like, weird about weed, like, I don't care what happened to you. I don't care what, like, if you have a really good reason, it's not a good reason. Like, you should not have a problem with weed. If you have a problem with weed, you should hate alcohol. Because alcohol is actually going to kill you. But weed will not. So, fuck that bitch, first of all. Also, she sounds like a trash bucket of a human. Like, I am embarrassed that that is a mother. Like, also, so embarrassed. We've been hearing so many people calling about, like, adults being vicious on Facebook, and it's
a breeding ground for really weird pettiness that I don't really understand why.
Well, I think that adults, like, that mom, she did not grow up on Instant Messenger. She did not grow up with AOL. Like, this is their first chance, and so
they have no digital etiquette.
It's like someone who comes out at, like, age 35. Like, they're just gonna, they're an emotional teenager. Or Caitlyn Jenner, we were talking about her. She is, like, on Emotionally Broken Psychos, which you guys should all go listen to if you like reality TV talk. But the psychologist that I had on that episode said that Caitlyn Jenner is basically as offensive as she is because she is an emotional teenager right now. Wow. and coming into this new life. So that's what the experience I think parents are having with Facebook. Like, they don't get that you don't do that, and they don't get how crazy it makes them look.
Yeah. My grandma, I delete many of her comments because I, like, one time shared a comedy video that my friends made, and I was like, so funny. And she commented under it, like, yuck.
Why?
Come on.
I deleted it.
Graham, were you doing anything salacious in it?
Or no, I wasn't like even it? In it. I was just sharing it. And okay. My friends were, and it wasn't sexual in any way. And it wasn't, they were just being, like, awkward and weird and very, it's very alt comedy.
Yeah. You Graham, know, Graham didn't get the nuances.
No. Okay. And it was just like a, it
or
was
she
just
didn't
like
care
a,
for it. She just
she
didn't,
just
care,
didn't
for
care for it.
But
yeah.
You don't comment, yuck, you cannot care for it and move on. Like, it's very interesting. Yuck. Like, you don't say that. You wouldn't say that in life, you know?
Yuck is pretty, like, non-committal too. Like, it's kind of brutal. Like, it's like, ew. But, like, ew is, like, so tame. Like, it's almost a non-statement.
Yeah. Was it in all caps with a period?
I don't think so. Okay. Maybe. She's had some more specifically insulting comments that I can't remember exactly. And I think, in fairness, it would be right to read them exactly as written. But I delete them because I just think, you know, why allow this hate on the page? I also think people have to just calm down. It's a really weird culture right now where people feel like there's this veil of protection where they can say anything they want. They would never say it to your face. They were, like, missing the human connection and yep. contact. And it's really interesting to see how far people will go. And it kind of scares me, like, the human race in general, like, that they would be so violent towards each other if they're
– well, like – the best example ever is that everyone's like, Donald Trump is saying what I've been thinking this whole time. Like,
so crazy.
Sorry, I feel like it's almost like cliche to bring up Trump, but like what you're talking about is it's unfortunate. I mean, people are we're from liberal like cities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've lived in Los Angeles. And we're in a very liberal business. Like, we're not. I mean, I certainly know Republicans, and I certainly grew up around many Republicans, but I've always had like a very liberal mind. So it doesn't occur to me that someone would think that way, but
no.
People are out there thinking that way.
Yeah.
And people are also indignant because change is really happening right now. Like, mm-hmm. In a way, like, people think police brutality is like a 2014, like, police brutality dropped in 2014.
No,
it's been going on the whole time. It's just getting media coverage now. And so people are like, they're talking about that, so I have to talk extra hard about the thing that's the opposite of that. You know?
I actually, this is really incredible. I did not know this, and I recently learned this, and I think it's sheds a lot of light on what's happening. There, I forget who posted it. I'm really bad with details. Sorry, but the gist still matters. So we've all been saying, like, is there more police brutality? No, there's not. There's just always been this much, but we didn't have the media coverage. That is true to an extent, but it's actually not the full truth. They did statistics, and there actually is more police brutality now.
It's just getting worse. Yeah.
And another really interesting piece I just learned was that, so when we had the recent war, Iraq, whatever, those people came back, and there was a militarization of the police force. And soldiers from Iraq who are, like, not emotionally okay were just put into the workforce, and they are employing military tactics on civilians. And that is why we are having a rise in police brutality.
They've also received the equipment, and, like, they get the hand-me-downs.
I'm sorry. This
like
is
–
I have a lot of opinions on – people, military, et cetera. I have a lot of opinions about it, but I will say this. If we got to keep them off reality TV, first of all, keep people who have PTSD off reality television. Like, it's so, I think it's like sick. Like, every person on MTV now is like, oh, I served in Iraq and now I'm like doing this. And never a conversation about the PTSD that they obviously have.
Yeah.
There's a guy on 60 Days In who I think has PTSD. But further, my point is that if we honor that as like the greatest thing you can do in this country,
mm-hmm.
we should pay for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So that they're not out looking for jobs, because what we do is fucked up to them. Like, what happens to them is fucked up. And so you need
to take
care of them
forever. And then we act
like
it didn't happen. It's so funny that we all, well, not we all, but a majority of people have therapy for just the things that happen in their family lives. And,
yep.
and that's considered trauma. And even that on a small level affects your life in every single way. Imagine the most violent thing that could ever happen to you, the most high stress, the most just terrifying thing that could ever happen to you.
Unfamiliar, like you're in a strange land.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to express emotion about it. Then you get sent home, and you're supposed to act like everything's fine.
Yeah,
that's like
oh,
the
hey, Bill,
definition of emotional denial, instability. And on a very small level, just with our family interactions, we consider that important to go to therapy. But then we have people who are witnessing the most horrific things ever, and they're not supposed to talk about it. I know no one's saying they're not supposed to talk about it, but that's what it seems like.
Right.
This is a really important discussion that we're having, but I think we should pivot back to the caller's question. So, like, what should she do? Should she confront the friend? Have you ever had a situation where,
really,
like, your friend's parents didn't like you? Or
I think moms have a spidey sense about who they don't want around their kids. Like, and I think that we talked about that when Drew was on our pod, like Kristen from Vanderpump Rules, all moms hate her. And the reason why is they have a spidey sense about them. I don't know if you do. It also sounds like this woman is crazy, but there's definitely a reason outside of the weed that she doesn't feel comfortable with you.
And here's the thing. It might have nothing to do with you. Most of the time when someone is being I don't know, aggressive towards you. Someone could literally walk up to you and say, you are a fucking cunt. And that actually has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I would suggest if you're into books, this person, this caller should get The Five Agreements. Go read that. This will help. The Four Agreements. Okay. Thank you.
Like, dude, they added a new agreement. Four Agreements.
Okay. It has nothing to do with you. And this mom probably has a lot of things that, you know, have happened in her life that some reason she's projecting them onto you in this situation. And that's why her reaction was so strong. When someone's reaction seems really out of line too,
yep,
that's especially an indicator that it has nothing to do with you. And even if it did hypothetically have something to do with you,
sure,
you also cannot convince someone otherwise. All you can do, if she thinks something of you that's terrible, you can't actively talk it out of her mind. You have to live your life in kindness, still be kind to her. You can put a distance and you don't talk about it with her. You don't try and convince her otherwise. You just live your life by example, and maybe in time she will reverse that thought about you. But you cannot argue with a crazy person.
Right. No, oh, dude, you know what? Actually, I did have this happen to me. Andy Lubershane from middle school, his mom was like, you're never allowed to come. Molly's never allowed to come back to the house. And I definitely had like she's from a kind of, she doesn't have two parents. Like, and that mm-hmm. was big in Lexington. Like, your parents could be divorced, but you had to have two. And so, unless someone died. And then you were like, you were put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
So I remember I was at Andy Lubershane's house. We were after school snacking it up. And also a lot of my friends, their parents didn't keep liquor around the house.
Yeah.
And we were all going into the fridge to get snacks. And I was like, can I get a drink? And Andy was like, yeah. And his mom walks into the room right as I'm looking in the fridge. And I go, oh, root beer, right? And it's beer. And she thought that I was, she didn't hear me say root. And I was like, Andy, I said, or like after the fact, I was like, I said root beer. But like, I realized she was putting this thing on me where she's like, oh, the girl from the single mom house is like drinking. Joke's on you, bitch. I was straight edge as fuck in high school. All I cared about was punk rock and being like straight edge and like not needing drugs to get high. Like, I was such a nerd. So I could have been your best friend, Andy Lubershane, but your mom's a bitch. And that does have something to do with her. Dre is going to read our letter.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from a guy. It says, hi, Malls. Quick story. A couple weeks ago, my girlfriend of 1 year and I were at a party. Later in the night, almost everyone started taking off all their clothes and jumping into the pool. My girlfriend and I didn't really talk about it, but we were both pretty intoxicated, and we both ended up joining in as well. We had a lot of fun. It was a really good night, and I don't really regret it. But then recently, a friend put the question forward to me if I would have been okay with my girlfriend skinny dipping at a party where I wasn't there. And honestly, that time, the thought of her being naked around other guys made me a little sick to my stomach. She's a real free spirit who parties a lot more than I do, so it doesn't seem too unlikely that that could come up. It's been kind of bothering me. So what should I do? Are my thoughts too possessive, or is it worth trying to bring up before it can even become a potential fight? Please advise, Sid. P.S. Love the pod.
Oh my God, this is a good one. What do you think?
Well, this is interesting. I think the worst thing – okay. So we have these fears, right? Because ultimately, the worst thing that can happen to us, especially in a love relationship, is rejection. And rejection to our monkey lizard brain, like our primal brain, I've been to hypnotherapy, our primal brain thinks of that as death. So that's why when we lose someone or something, it feels like you are dying, because that's how our brain registers it. So in this situation, it's not just about her going in the pool naked. You mentioned the other guys, and ultimately you're going worst case scenario, like she's with one of these other guys or leaves you or have sex with them or something, and you have a huge rejection.
Or
so you're in
other
fear.
Guys are looking at something that belongs to me.
Right. So you're having like a fear, a possessive fear. Whenever we feel jealousy or fear or the need to control someone, the best thing that you can actually do is the opposite. Because when we act upon those things, you create the very fear that you were worried about. So if you're acting jealous towards someone, if you're acting possessive, if you're trying to control someone, they actually want to get away from you and they do the very thing you were afraid of. Whereas if you are confident and you stand in your own person and you love yourself and you trust that person, they won't do the thing that you're worried about. And there's also, yes, a little bit of a human psychology thing where it's like there's a pursuer and a pursuee. And if you're constantly hounding on someone and trying to control them, they want to get away from you. But if you let go and you just trust them and you be confident, that person wants to come towards you.
Right.
They want to consider you. And also the two of you, you know, we'll have more open communication. I think it's okay at the same time to have boundaries within a relationship, but you need to check yourself and see, is this a boundary that I'm trying to express through an I feel statement? Like, right. You know, you can go to that pool party or whatever. I might feel uncomfortable if you're naked, but I also love and trust you.
Yeah, I feel it's very, first of all, thank you. That was like, that's actually kind of life changing for me to have heard that and have that confirmed.
That's why she was looking at me, because she was like, yeah.
Well, sorry, I just burped into the microphone. I am classic. If you're jealous or if you are trying to control me, I am classic. Go the other way. Like a long time ago, I had an ex, and towards the end, we would have these crazy fights because I was so exhausted of being controlled. But I was like in love, and I didn't want to break up with him, which is, you know, bad behavior. Damsel in distress. But like I would just like now that I look back on it, the notion behind my anger was always leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, stop fucking picking on me and just let me be myself. Like, this is the person you chose to be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
And like, look, that is the interesting thing, is that you can find someone and they're fucking awesome. But like, a big part of making it work and actually being in a successful adult relationship with that person is full-blown acceptance. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to love the part of your girlfriend that's a free spirit as much as you love the part of her that's whatever. You know what
I mean?
And
it's probably what attracted you to her in the first place.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting that we often do that. It's like the things that we're attracted to in a person will later try and control, but that's the very thing that made you fall in love with them.
Because you want it to yourself.
Yeah. Yep. That's very, very real. I have to say though, Sid, I understand the impulse. Like, I was, you know, being raised Catholic, and I think the way that society kind of makes you feel is like you have to think of your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend as like your possession. Like, that's your person. Mm-hmm. And we've been all taught to think that. And like, I think that's also why we're seeing more polyamory now, like that notion sort of disappearing. But it was programmed into a lot of us. Jealousy was programmed into a lot of us. And so I understand the impulse, but you need to do your best to ignore it, because even as I'm doing it, if I don't do it anymore. I used to be so possessive in my 20s, not controlling, but just like, that's my human.
Yeah.
I would see myself I would step outside of myself and say, I know what you're doing and I know it's wrong. Like that was, I knew it was wrong, and you know, it's wrong too. Like, you know, deep down somewhere inside of you, Sid, you know that it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, and you will create the thing that you're afraid of if you continue down this path with this behavior. And if there's like a very tangible thing that you want to try and help yourself with this, I got hypnotized for this straight up.
Yeah, I love that you've done
hypno. And it really worked.
Yep.
And but if you don't, you know, I don't know, if you don't go to a hypnotherapist, whatever, you can say to yourself affirmations, you know, in your car or something, when you're starting to have these feelings bubble up, they come from a place of insecurity.
Yeah.
So you need to say out loud to yourself, I am funny. I am smart. I'm attractive.
Yeah.
I'm in a wonderful relationship. You need to think of all the wonderful things in your relationship. Say them out loud if you have to. Write them down. Remind them of yourself. If you need to write a list and read them and just focus on them. And you'll be so much more alluring to her anyway. She'll never want to make you feel uncomfortable.
Right,
if
exactly.
If you are not trying to control her, if you're just, you know, being confident and trusting and give her that space, she'll actually come more towards you.
Yeah, the cool, like the best, one of the best relationships I know of, the guy is a total party animal, but in a fun, like a very fun way. It's not like, you know, addictive and weird or whatever, but he's a party animal. Like he's a creative, wacky fucking party animal. And his wife is this like very buttoned up person. And I'm like, how do they make it work? And then I realize it's because they just like accept the fuck out of each other. Like yeah. She finds joy in like his craziness and he finds joy in her groundedness. And like, I think that you got to focus on that. Whatever, you're exactly right. Whatever it is that got you guys together is the thing that you need to focus on here, because mm-hmm. that's the thing that matters the most. Dude, I fucking love that a straight guy, I love it when straight guys write to us or call. It's my fave.
Yeah.
They're very rare. Love you, Sid. So I want to address something that normally I don't make statements on this podcast, especially in front of guests. If I have a statement to make about something, I usually pre-record it just because I don't feel like anyone should be subjected to me, especially when I've been crying as much as I have. Like Christina Lopez is like a punished person. Like being my friend is probably so exhausting. But yeah, I want to talk to you guys about the letter that we read on the episode with Ed recently, Famous Fetus. I'm sorry. I'm being inarticulate because I've been so passionately speaking about this for the last 2 days to Christina because she's the only person I can talk to about this. That letter that was written, a lot of you guys have asked for updates. That letter that was written is true. It's also, I want to say it's not Chet Hayes or Jaden Smith. I want to say that I think I know who the person is and I'm not certain, but anyway, I can't use any other word to say this, but I feel violated by the truth behind this letter. I feel like someone walked into my house and took a shit in my living room. I view Please Advise as a community. I also feel that this person disrespected you in the process, my audience, because like you guys call and are vulnerable and you ask for advice. Basically, the letter that that woman wrote about the guy stiffing her and trying to cause her to miscarry, etc., because she wouldn't get an abortion, wrote that letter to me for a specific reason. And it's because she thought that if I read it, it would reach a certain audience of people that she wants to intimidate. And I understand, of course, I understand why she wants to be heard. Like, trust me, I have been so flustered so many times in my life and just want to be heard more than anything. But the letter was not, it was not pure in intent. This girl is not a member of Please Advise Nation. She does not listen to this podcast. She was told to call this podcast because her friend knew that other people in my life would see this and this would serve as a threat to them. I wound up having a bunch of shit blow up in my face. You guys can go back and look at it. Go to my Twitter. That episode was retweeted more than any other episode that I've ever posted. And want to know what? None of the fucking people who retweeted it follow me. Someone went in on a mission. And I feel used. And I would have never read that letter. Look, nothing changes. The welfare of the child is very, very important to me. I'm not going to lie. And I actually am also upset because I wrote this woman a letter just telling her how much I admired her strength and her courage. And I came from a very sincere place. And I feel preyed upon because I think that everyone knows that I try to stand up when I see something wrong. I try to stand up for myself. I'm very defensive of my friends. I say what's right and I say what's wrong. I'm all about honesty, whatever else, keeping it real. But I think that she wanted me to hurt someone on her behalf. I think she was sending me in to hurt someone, and that's not my intention. One of the retweets was from a DJ who does not follow me, who has like 100,000 followers. Like, that man does not listen to Please Advise. This was done on purpose, and I would have had no part in it if I knew. No, it's not that I care so much about the people that she was intending for it to be seen by. It's not even that. It's that it was nefarious is what it was. It was fucking fraudulent. And you wrote in and said one thing and it actually was another thing. And you know what? I would have loved if you had just came clean and said what you're, I would have maybe even had you do a call with me and I will let you plea your case on this. But it's because you tried to trick me and violate me and take advantage of me that I'm pissed. There will be no updates on this woman. I don't give a fuck what happens to her. I care about her kid. I'm an advocate of children, especially of single mothers. And I feel preyed upon for that reason. Like, it just makes me so upset. And you know, like, we do this show with the best intentions. It is a comedy podcast. Like, we're registered. My lawyer told us when we were creating this, my entertainment lawyer was like, you have to file it under comedy for legal reasons. You're not going to find the biggest lulls online on this podcast, but it is for the most part, a lighthearted podcast. We talked about jail, maxi pads, and jealous boyfriends, and you know, some real stuff always, but like, this is not a place where I want to destroy lives. This is not a place where I want to expose anyone. This is not a place where I want to make people feel bad about themselves. And I don't like that I was used as a vehicle to do that, because that is everything that I am not about. And I don't know, like, Christina, do you want to say anything?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is that I don't, you know, this is a comedy podcast, as Molly said, and you know, I don't do the due diligence to like follow up, because we're just taking the problem at face value.
Right.
And the parameters of the show, like, stay, you can't write in expecting Molly to do anything but give you an answer on the show.
Right.
That's it. Like, we've said this before, we have to set boundaries because people creep into her personal life and ask her for help. And it's unfair to Molly to set her up like that. So,
but this is sinister, yeah. What she did. This was sinister. And I have to say, I had all of her friends who all have fucking protected Instagram accounts in my Instagram, not even the Please Advise Instagram, because that's how fucking fraudulent and sloppy they were about this. All protected comments, leaving comments on my page. Go after him, Molly, just the way that only someone like you could. It's like, you know what? No. First of all, I'm not going to take up for you. Like, I'm trying to take up for myself. That is something that I struggle with for myself. And I definitely am not going to do that when I am the only person who is using their name in this scenario. The pregnant chick is protected. Her friends all have protected accounts. This guy, his family is protected. He's protected. I'm not. I'm the vulnerable one. And that's what's fucked up about this. I don't appreciate it at all. And I don't want to have to become a hardened person about this. I don't want to have to start doubting that you guys are writing into me for bad reasons, or that your calls are plants to upset people that were once very important to me. That is like just fucked. And I want nothing to do with it. And like, I wish this woman could see, like, that was so, I want to get hypnotized about it actually. Cause it was the most like, I don't know how to describe it. I just felt so, like, it felt very, like, abusive and very, like,
it was manipulative.
It was not humane. Like, it wasn't humane. Like, you can't, I'm so passionate about, like, pregnant women being treated well and, like, giving them a voice. And, like, I've always, like, defend Catherine on Southern Charm because she's 21 and pregnant. Like, I really think that moms are special people, so I'm always going to give reverence to them. And then to find out that I spent all this time, wrote such a sincere email that I just so genuinely meant. And, like, literally, I've written less nice emails to actual real friends of mine. After something like that, I wrote her the nicest, most supportive email I could from my own personal email address. I did not have to send that letter. I sent it because she set me up to care about her. And so many of you were set up to care about her. And I also just feel really, you know, this is not the biggest podcast by any means, but you guys are so loyal and so honest. I'm so upset. You guys are so loyal and so honest and so cool. And I don't like that someone put you guys in that position. I don't like that you guys were worried about that. Someone, you know, people told me that the letter made them cry. you know, I'm so sorry that someone shed tears over something that was not pure. Like, it's not, because it's not a pure story. And I have to say, if I was the famous guy's kid, I understand why this family wants nothing to do with her. She's manipulative. And like, I don't think the way they're treating her is right at all, but she is a manipulative person. I understand she's desperate, but it's just fucked up. I want nothing to do with that ever, ever, ever again. We don't do that on Please Advise. It's not about that. Be nice to me, because I try really hard to be nice to you. And even though I call you guys bitches and stuff sometimes, I really care about you, and I don't want to see that happen. So, I want to update you on that. That's probably not the update you were expecting. It definitely was not the update I was expecting. When I found out, I was in public, and I didn't even think I could drive myself home. Like, I was shaking. Like, I had a full-blown panic attack, because I realized I was a pawn. Like, so embarrassing. And that's the other thing, too. It's humiliating. It makes me look stupid. Because I don't assume that you guys would lie to me. And I don't want to become the kind of person who has to assume and question that you guys are fraudulent. Like, I'm upset about it. And I'm so sorry that you guys had to be exposed to that. And I'm sorry to anyone that was affected by it. And I really just care about the kid in this situation. And I hope that the kid is well taken care of. I did find out that she's lawyered up in a great way. And she's going to go about this in a way that will protect her kid. And that's all I care about. And that's all you need to know about it. And we're never going to speak of this again. Okay, let's go back to our calls.
Hey, Balls. My name is Mary. I am almost 25, and I live in Michigan. And I live in an apartment by myself. It's, like, pretty big for, like, a one-person apartment. And I am really wanting a dog. Not, like, a puppy, but, you know, like, more of a dog. And I've never had one before, and I was just wondering if you give me any advice or if you thought it was a good idea. Thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
Well, you live in Michigan, so your rent is like, what, $3? So I'm pretty sure you can afford a dog. Like, just do it. Why not? Wagon Stuff has held me so accountable throughout all of my 20s. Like, it was so good. It was so good to have a dog. It teaches you routine. It gives you an unconditional, constant stream of love and support. They're warm and fuzzy. And I just love dogs. I met your dog recently.
Yeah, my dog is the best. I will say, she's never had a dog. She's thinking of adopting a dog. I have adopted dogs. And then the dog I have right now, I bought because my boyfriend at the time was allergic. And I had a lot of guilt around that, which I've now let go. But I had him as a puppy. So I've done both. And here's what I'll say. If you want to go to the shelter to get a dog, when I got my first dog from the shelter, I walked in and every dog was barking their heads off. There was one dog who was alert but not barking. I said, that's my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want a dog who's not barking and is sick and sad.
Right.
But like happy and alert but not barking their heads off is a great start.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go to a shelter, like really – don't be swayed by like, oh, they're so cute, but they're an asshole.
Yeah.
You want a calm energy, especially if you're living in a smaller place.
Yeah.
And just be prepared to have to undo some trauma. There might be aggression towards other dogs. There might be potty training issues. There might be destroying your stuff.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that come with it. And I do recommend getting books on dogs. Like Caesar's books are great, Caesar Milan. There are a lot of ways to undo things. My first dog from the shelter was aggressive towards other dogs, and I undid that. It took a lot of work and patience.
Yep.
My dog now I bought, and I will say if you get a puppy, you can also get a puppy from a shelter.
Yep.
And there is kind of like – you've had Wag since a puppy, right?
I mean, yes, but I raised him to be an asshole. Oh, like, it's my fault. Like, he has, he was 2 weeks old when, or 8 weeks old when I got him.
Yeah.
So.
Archie was 9 weeks old. And if you do get a puppy, I think there is kind of like an indescribable bond with your dog that you don't get as much from an adult dog. Not to say that you shouldn't get an adult dog, but if there's a puppy in the shelter and you're really drawn to them, don't discourage yourself. And, you know, everyone said, I have a shih tzu. They said, like, they're impossible to potty train. That's not true. I got some book that was like, potty train your dog in a week. It did work. I took my dog out every 30 minutes, put him on the grass. And you can give your dog positive reinforcement. You can do this for an adult dog, too, if they have potty issues. Like,
Wags revenge shits. Like, he mostly will take, he'll, like, if there's, like, I'm shocked he hasn't done it now. Like, there's, if you were a guy, he would have definitely taken a revenge
shit. Interesting.
Yeah. He doesn't like men. He's an asshole, and he knows how to tell me when he wants to go outside. This little fucker is so manipulative. I love him so much, though. Can I say one thing about just how cool it is that, like, there's no guarantee with any human that you won't get sick of them. Like, yeah. I just imagine being married for 20 years and waking up one day and looking at someone being like, I'm disgusted by you. But like 9 years later, after everything we've been through, there is not a second of the day. Sometimes the barking gets to me. It can be very piercing. Yeah. But I never spend more than 30 minutes not thinking about Wags. Like, he is, I'm so in love with him. He's always so cute to me. Like, I'm looking at him right now and he's so cute. And I just, yeah, that's like a very unique relationship. Like, who else are you going to love for 9 years? It takes a revenge shit whenever people come over.
Yeah, I tell my dog he's my best friend all the time.
Yeah.
And when I got him, I had a panic as I was driving and I was thinking, like, I can't have a dog. This is too much responsibility, because I had a little gap where I didn't have a dog.
That's what's stopping me from
getting one. No, it's not. It's just fear. Actually,
a dog would do you well, girl. I think you should get a dog.
Just fear. You need to get a dog. Unless you're like, you know that you can't be, even if you can't be home all day, you can arrange dog walkers. Like, it's a huge difference in life for sure.
I'll tell you. Because the same reason that it was good for Ed. Like, when Ed got the opportunity to get Allie, literally everyone was like, Ed, take the dog. Like, that would be so good for you. I think that it would help you with some of the oven stuff. There's something about having
We missed this analogy I was saying.
Oh, Christina said, some people are stoves and some people are ovens. Want to explain that?
Basically, like, Drea was saying that she can't do small talk. She gets into the real shit like right away, and I can't do that. So I was like, "You're a stove, because you can cook on it right away." But I'm an oven. I need some time to warm up to get to the right temperature.
Christina and I have been friends for like 8 years, and I know probably like 7 facts about her. Like, she, when she says it takes her a minute to warm up, it takes a minute to warm up. Oh my gosh. And I think that would be really good for you.
Yeah. Like, I've gotten better with the newer people I've met in the last like year and a half about just like kind of laying my cards out there.
I think that would also give you something that you enjoy more in your free time. Like, the time that you have off work, like, you get this instant like jolt of love and a very cool, like, you know, it just, I don't know, like, yeah, it was a lot of responsibility but it's a happy responsibility, and it's something that's so satisfying. And like,
yeah, you walk in the door and they're beyond thrilled that you walked in the door.
Yeah.
No one or nothing and no other creature will do that to you. Not a cat. I know that for sure now, because my boyfriend is a cat. But I say definitely get a dog. And if you've never had a dog before, please get books and read and learn how to train that dog so that you don't have like a bunch of crazy issues. And if you've never had a dog, my fear is that you'll be like, this is too much, and you like get rid of the dog.
Don't get rid of the dog. When you get a dog, you have to understand that it's a 15-year commitment. Like, it is the way you sign a 35-year mortgage or whatever, you have a 15-year commitment with that dog. And that means that for the next 15 years, you need to dedicate your time to them in a way that is legit and consistent. And, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad that Wags is such an asshole. Like, I do. Like, I did not raise him with a lot of boundaries. He also was, like, very handsome, so it was always hard for me to say no to him. But also, like, I needed him so bad that I would just, like, let him do – oh, my God. I know I'm not pregnant because I haven't had sex in 7 months, but I can't stop crying. I don't know what's going on with
me. It's the seasonal shift.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like back to school. It's so hard for me. But
here's what I'll say, too. So my dog is the exceptional dog. Everyone cannot stop telling me how good he is. And it's because when I had him as a puppy, my friends would be like, you're being too disciplined. He's a puppy. And I'm like, yeah. And now he's an amazing dog because yep. I didn't let him do all those things because he's so cute. And he's like extremely handsome. He's yep. too much.
Yeah, he's very cute.
And like at 5 months old, he was the demo dog at a world-class grooming event. And they had him on a table with no restraints. That's how good he is.
Yeah. No, it's important. Dogs, my mom always says dogs and kids like routines and boundaries. And yeah. it's just the truth. Like you have to put a routine is really important. I wish I could do it differently. Like I wish yeah. I could go back and do it differently, but at the same time, there's not a thing I would change about my dog.
It's okay. So, and I will say this person, if she gets a dog, I'm going to put this out there. If she gets a dog and there are, and she's read the books and whatever, and has given it a genuine old try and is having an issue, Malls, you can email me and I'll email her back. I have solved my friend's dog. They will text me and I will give the most detailed answer. And it has, knock on wood, to this day worked. My friend lives in Manhattan. She got a really cute Pomeranian. He's really sweet. But every time she would leave, he would bark his head off. And, you know, in an apartment building, that's a nightmare. And he would just bark nonstop. And I told her to take a can and fill it with change. And each time, go outside the door, and the minute he starts barking, shake it.
Yeah.
And he would stop. And then when he stops, you praise him.
Yeah.
And do it inside first. Every time you bark, shake it. When he's quiet, praise him. My dog is like a mute dog. People yeah. don't even think he makes sound. And yep. because when he would bark as a puppy, I would go, no. Yep. And then he was quiet and I would be like, oh my God, you're so good. Like ridiculous. But the can thing worked and now the dog doesn't bark when she leaves the apartment.
That's really amazing. And by the way, also speaks to your will. I want to point out to you, this caller, if you have like codependency issues, getting a dog may not be the easiest thing for you because I know what the problem is with Wags. I need to keep him in a crate at night. Mm-hmm. He can't sleep in my bed. He does know the word no. He just doesn't listen to it. Sometimes yeah. when I say, he's opening his eyes now because he heard me say no. Good boy. But yeah, he knows that word and I say it to him all the time and sometimes he'll listen, but most of the time he's like, fuck you, I'm not listening to that. And yeah. so, and that's because I'm a codependent person and I could never yell at him. I'd be like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, oh, it's fine. Like I just wanted him to be happy. And dogs are animals and yeah. we put a lot of human emotion on them. And I learned that when I was going through the whole situation with Helen, who by the way is fine. I just want everyone to know that. People ask me about Helen all the time. I did have to rehome her. If you missed that in the episode part two of the 100th anniversary or whatever, what under the episode, I did have to rehome Helen and it was because it was for Wags' safety. And also mine. Yeah. Because Helen could physically overpower me and I started to become afraid of her, which is not good.
Which makes it even worse.
Makes it even worse because dogs and bees can smell fear.
Yeah.
And I just be very boundaried. I think that's
and
amazing.
And I do recommend a crate. Archie was always crate trained and I just recently, because I moved homes, I am going back on my steadfastness and I've been letting him sleep in the bed and I immediately notice a discipline difference.
Yes.
He does not listen as well. And in the middle of this conversation, I realized he's got to go back in the crate.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, it's a punishment. But no, if it's a loving routine and you put a treat in the crate and they're happy, like, I mean, if your dog isn't crate trained from the beginning, it's going to be a fight. But if you do get a puppy, definitely crate train them. And it creates like a safe little home. Archie will go in his crate. I leave the door open. He'll just go in there on his own in the day and sleep.
And by the way, it takes a toll on your relationship. Yeah. Like in a romantic relationship, like every guy I've ever dated, the number one hurdle that they have to get over, especially because I'm such a pushover, the number one hurdle they have to get over is Wags.
Yeah.
Number one. Because Wags will bite the fuck out of you if you touch his mom. Like, he will yell at you all the time. He wants all your food.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be – he's allowed to wake you up, but you're not allowed to wake him up. It's good for if you plan on dating in your life, crate train your dog.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Please advise. I loved meeting you so much for real this time, Dre. I like loved that we really got deep. I said this off mic. I did not know what to expect of you at all. And no offense, I said this also, like, you guys know, like, sometimes we've had some actresses on the show and they're not the best conversationalists. It's a little bit of a hazard of the profession, but you have a really I just, you've been such a delight. Thank you. Really appreciate it. People can watch you on Angie Tribeca. What is your social media situation?
It's Dre Andre. So DreAndre. And that's on Twitter and Instagram. I do have Snapchat, but I don't really use it anymore.
You're over it.
Yeah, I got that Instagram vid. I do some real fun things on there. So.
That's good. I'm going to follow you on there. I don't know if I'm following you yet, but I'm going to start checking out those vids. I've noticed a lot of my friends are transitioning over.
Yeah, they're funny.
I've been a little bit over Instagram for a long time because you have to make things look beautiful on there.
Oh.
And I'm all about like.
But you also don't have to, and that'll be your thing.
Yeah, I feel like the trend of it is like Instagram's supposed to be like your best self, and like Snapchat can be like whatever haggard version.
But that is very strange to me because Instagram does not have filters, so their videos is not your best self. Quote, actually, it is your best self, and Snapchat is not your best self because of all those filters. And I think it's really strange. Actually, I'll do a tiny Snapchat rant, but I think it's funny that this is always a problem, never ending, that drives me nuts. This is not a surprise to you, but women are not allowed to age.
No.
If they do something to their face, we scrutinize them, we rip them apart, but they're also not allowed to age. So that's a catch 22. But then we put a bunch of makeup on our face, and then on Snapchat, we have filters that look like a fucking mannequin.
Yeah.
You are doing something to your face every day on Snapchat.
I think the beauty filter.
So shut up.
Yeah. No, it's true. The beauty filter on Snapchat is a lie. I actually take personal offense when someone uses it and doesn't say, hey, I'm using the beauty filter, because it's a lie. I will say I get probably 5 messages a day being like, what's your beauty secret? And I'm literally like, the first filter to the left is my beauty secret. Like, it's just, it smooths everything out. I don't have great skin. Like, I don't, like, it's literally the first filter to the left. You guys, you should know that beauty tip.
Side note, you do have great skin. I'm sitting across from you in natural lighting.
Thank you. I have really bad freckles. Like, I have discoloration.
I just did Limelight.
How was that?
Good. It's like, looks like I have foundation on and I don't.
Okay.
I did it to stop putting makeup on my face.
Wait.
I just have bronzer and blush. So if you have freckles, they'll still be there, very light. If you have discoloration and sun stuff, which happens when you have freckles, the whole right side of my face looked like the world map. It was insane. So you do it. It hurts. It feels like a sunburn. It's like snapping of it feels like a rubber band snap.
I've had an IPL before. Is that what that is? Okay, yeah.
And then it flakes off.
Yep.
And then it's clear, and I cannot believe the difference.
Yeah, no, IPL is amazing, but I will tell you this. Don't do it if you smoke cigarettes. It's not good for you if you smoke cigarettes. It actually can make the IPL a lot worse. And also, be prepared to not leave the house for 5 days.
I left and I documented it because I was like, I'm going out and this is what's happening with my face and here it is, public.
Oh,
so I documented it on Instagram video.
I got it. My IPL happened to coincide with what my manager at the time didn't tell me was staffing week. So I literally had to go into millions of interviews looking like someone splattered shit on my face.
Yeah, it looks like you have dirt on your face.
Yeah, and I'd have to lead with like, hey, I'm not like a leper. Like, I just like, I did a skin thing. And like, which also like, again, scrutinize. Like, the second you admit like, hey, I did a skin thing, everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Yeah.
But
I got it done. I thought I had 2 weeks of like nothing. It only took a week for me anyway. It flaked off. But I literally walked out of it and I had an audition the next day. I had to put myself on. And I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't think they make a makeup strong enough for it. I was using that Kat Von D tattoo cover up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was getting real. Like, because
mine just mostly looked like freckles. It was okay, except for the sides. But
I just had them everywhere. Yeah. So it looks like someone took like a spoonful of mud and like slung it on my face.
I'll show you pictures when we log off of here. We log off of here, right? That's how a podcast is. We log off.
Okay, guys.
Really good with computers and stuff.
Yeah.
Logging off until next week. Thanks for listening.